It is 9:30, and we have a lot to cover for this 45 minutes. Let me ask you, I've been signing up here, and I've been speaking at the same time. Is that hard or easy? What do you think?
Depends on the person.
Depends on the person, okay. If I was raised, if I was a CODA, maybe I could probably do better. But if I'm... Is it possible for a human being to process two languages at the same time in their brain? No, it is not. So if I'm signing and I'm speaking at the same time, one of those two languages are going to have to suffer.
They both suffer.
They're both suffering. Because sometimes I'm speaking in like deaf language and sometimes I'm signing. And so sometimes my signing skills go away. But it's my first language. I love what Dennis yesterday said. My heart language is what? English. Not sign language. Sign language is my second language. A deaf person, their heart language is sign language, right? So to speak and to sign at the same time is difficult. And so it'd be better if all I could do is just stand up here and sign. And that would be better. And then have a person that would voice for me, translate what I'm signing into English. But to sign and to speak at the same time is difficult. Okay, so most of the time, what happens is the ASL suffers as I talk in English. But my brain is wired for English, and I have to add the little things up there to make it work in sign language. So this is the second part of the class. This is going to be before the first hour. We talked about the deaf culture. Different parts of deaf culture and why deaf culture was different than hearing culture. Some of the frustrations that deaf people face every day. And this part's going to be mostly about ASL, about sign language itself. And so we're going to talk about that for a while. First question, what is the sign American Sign Language, or ASL? What is that? If you had to explain or describe or define ASL, what would you say? Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I'm going to pass those around. Those are my handouts so you can take notes. This will be what's on that paper is basically what's up on the screen so you can copy and make notes. I think I have enough papers now because we lost some students, but that's good. I really appreciate you guys coming to the class. One time I taught a few years ago, and there was like one person that showed up, so it's better to have people. So my question to you is, what is American Sign Language? What does that mean?
A way to communicate with deaf people?
A way to communicate with deaf people, yes, correct.
In America.
If I go to another country, can I communicate with them in ASL?
Not as well.
Not as well. But because it's a gestural language, I can get by a little bit better than, say, a hearing person. I was in France one time. I didn't understand anything. What they say, but deaf people, when they go to another country, they can do a little bit better than hearing people because it's gestural. And some gestures are natural and common. But no, American Sign Language is for here in America, but even though some other parts of the world they use ASL. Some parts of Africa, I heard that Canada, some parts of Canada use American Sign Language. So what is it? It's deaf language. It's the language that deaf people, mostly in America, use to communicate with each other. My son, his name is Andy. His sign name is Andy, which is a little funny. But anyway, Andy he communicates to me and to his mother in ASL. Not English, ASL. It's deaf language. Okay, does anybody know where it came from? Where did ASL originate?
America.
You would think it originated in America, but that's not true. The history of ASL is that it started in what country? It's based on what country's sign language?
France.
Very good, thank you. A man by the name of Gallaudet, Gala was signed for Gallaudet, went to Europe and learned some French sign language and brought it back to America and set up the first deaf school in America and established ASL as the communication means for deaf people. Okay? A lot of French sign language is the same as American sign language. The alphabet, fingerspelling, is the same. In France, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. They use the same alphabet as we do. So American Sign Language is the way deaf people communicate. It's based on French sign language, and it's the mode of communication, or it's the mode of communication for deaf people in America. Good. Yeah. How long does it take to learn ASL?
Depends on the person.
Well, yeah, that's true. Depends upon the person, but I want to be a missionary, and I want to go to Africa, and I need to learn Swahili to communicate. How long would it take me to do that? About. My son, Andy, is 41 years old. I have a 41-year-old son. I can't be that old. And so I've been learning sign language for about 35 years or so. We were in Germany in the Air Force when we learned that he was deaf. So we got transferred back to America, and we started going to, started going to college, taking sign language classes. And those sign language classes were basically C signs also, which is interesting, because that's English. But so how long does it take to learn? Well, I've been learning it for 35 years. Jerry probably longer, other people. But if I went to a college that had, like, say, for example, an interpreter training program, maybe 2 years, 2 years of continuous learning. What's so cool now is how many of you had sign language in high school? Lots. It's a popular class. Miss Arnold, that teaches it here at Cooper High School in Abilene here, it's full. It's a full class every time, because people are interested in learning sign language. And so how long does it take? About 2 years, but you continuously learn signs. There's some signs I don't know, and I'm continuously learning. So ASL, if you're a hearing person, you can go to classes and you can look at books and you can get online technology. The internet has lots and lots and lots of programs that you can use to learn signs. It's hard a little bit to learn it from a book. Can you learn how to drive by reading a book? Well, you know you can learn the rules, but you have to actually get in the car, don't you, in order to be able to drive. It's the same with sign language. You have to go with deaf people. So find out where the deaf people are and then go and watch them. And that's where you pick up the signs. That's where you really learn sign language. We'll start off with this. ASL, American Sign Language, consists of five functions, the five functions of ASL. The first one is signs that are made with your hands. You have signs, my hands, I'm making signs. The sign for sign language is sign language. If you want to add the language, you can do that, sign language or signs. Okay. So the signs made with hands. I'm going to add here, or just add if you want to in your notes, that includes fingerspelling. Okay. Now the question here would be, why is fingerspelling important? Fingerspelling is important, why? Why do you need to know how to fingerspell? A, B, C. Why do you need to learn that?
Well, when you don't know the sign for a word.
Very good. If you don't know the sign for a word, you can always fingerspell it. As long as you know how to spell, that helps. But if you don't know a word, then you can just fingerspell it. Hey, taking count. So you can fingerspell it. What is another reason that you need to know how to fingerspell? Another reason that you need, that's important to know fingerspelling, your alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on.
There are names that are inside. You will have to sign.
There's not a sign for every word or every concept that you want to communicate. So you have to be able to fingerspell that place. Proper names, proper nouns, and so on. Places, right? Many places have a sign for that. Dallas, Lubbock, Abilene, San Antonio, Houston, Beaumont, Austin. They all have signs for their city names. But there are a lot of places. You are from where?
Lucas.
Lucas. There's not a sign for that, so you'd have to fingerspell that place where he is from. So you have to be able to fingerspell. Very important. Really important. So signs made with hands and include in that fingerspelling. But also, there is facial expressions that are very, very important. Because I said before, last class, your face tells a lot that your hands don't. Okay? And so, if you're sad, you make a sad face. If you're happy, you make a happy face. And so deaf people and people that learn sign language, they need to learn. This is so important. I put that on there because I've seen some interpreters that just, the sign is stone face. They don't ever move the face. It's frustrating. And so you have to be able to use your facial expression. And you'll see deaf people using their facial expressions a lot. Okay? They know how to move their facial muscles. And so that's really important. That's an aspect of ASL as well. Head movement, okay? Where this becomes important is, here's an example. Okay, what have I said? Same sign. What was that sign? What does this sign mean?
Thank you.
No?
Good.
Okay, this means good. This is thank you. This is good. And so what did I do? I said, what does that mean?
No good.
Not good.
Good.
Good. So by changing my head movements, okay, from this to this, changes the meaning of the sign, and it's exactly the same sign. I did exactly the same sign each time. So that's why head movements are so important. Okay? So that's a function of ASL. Very important. It's just not signing. It's moving your face, it's moving your head, it's also moving your body. You do shifting like this. If I'm saying, like, you know, I'm talking about this person, I shift like this and talk this, I'm talking about two different things. So just by shifting my shoulders, I can change the meaning of the signs. And so that's why body movement is a really important part of ASL. All of this included is what ASL is. Now, English doesn't have these features. It has words, it has tone, but all of these other features of are specific to ASL. And then the other one is the use of space around sign art. We talked about this a little bit before. Pointing by setting up space. We'll talk about my vacation that I had last year. We went to Oregon, and one place we went to was, it was the river, and, oh, it was beautiful. And then we went to an amusement park, and then we went someplace else. And by setting up these different locations around my body, okay, and about three or four is about the limit. If I start setting up too many spaces in front of me, I start losing count. Oh, where was that river, by the way? Was it over there or over there? So you have to set up space around the signer. A setup. They can be people. The last class we talked about my mother. Where was she at? She was right over here. And then my dad, he was right here. And so by just pointing to that location, or it doesn't even require that, I can just glance there. That means my mother. I'm talking about her now, okay, in my conversation. So all of these are the five features of ASL. All are important. Without one, it's no longer comprehensible. It's no longer understood. So you have to have signs, finger spelling included, and all of these other facial expression, head nods, head movement, body movements, and use of space. And deaf people are so skilled, experts at these things. Okay? So very important. Interestingly enough, there's also five functions of signing itself, the sign language I'm going to use. Okay? They're on your paper, on your handout. The first one is the hand shape. What hand shape I'm using, okay? The shape of your hands. Whether it's this is an open five. This is a four hand shape. This is an F hand shape or a nine hand shape. And so the shape of the hands themselves. Secondly is movement of the hands. How I move my hands, okay, is a function of signing. Hand shape, movement. Third one is palm orientation, whether I'm palm out, palm in, palm left, palm right. Let's do this now. Who's left-handed in here? Anybody left-handed? Jerry's left-handed. Anybody else lefty? See how that is? Don't you feel isolated? Yeah. Everybody else is right-handed. You're the only lefty.
All people are born left-handed when they're babies.
Then they mutate or something?
No, I mean, medically they're born, but they become right-handed after they commit their first sin.
First sin, yeah.
So I'm the only one that's still left-handed?
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
I know something about the rest of you.
If I'm right-handed, like all of the rest of you, like normal people, my right hand is going to be dominant and my left hand is going to be passive. So if I'm going to make any movement, my right hand is going to be do most of the motion. My left hand is going to be stationary. And there's about a million examples of that. Okay, immediately. Here's a sign for you. Immediately. Okay. Most of the time, my right hand is going to do most of the movement, and my left hand is going to stay passive. Now, sometimes signs, if it's the same hand shape. Dennis, yesterday, the teacher here, signed Russia. Two hands, both same hand shape, open five, touching the sides. This is the old sign for Russia, by the way, is Russia, okay? So, hand shape, open five, movement, palm orientation. In this case, down. It's not back, it's not, you know, like this. The other function of signing is where the sign is located. It's at the head, at the chin, the chest, the waist, where the location of the sign is done. And now I'm going to give you a good example of what I mean by this. I'll do that now. I'm going to give you three different signs. And the first one is this sign. Second one is this sign. The third one is this sign. Okay, this sign, this sign, this sign. What am I done? I've the same exact movement, same hand shape, same movement. What's different?
Location.
Okay. This means summer. This means ugly. This means dry. Three completely different concepts. Same hand shape, same movement, same palm orientation, but different location. Where the sign is made on your body changes the meaning of the sign. Okay, and there's lots of examples. And then the third, again, facial grammar. I'm gonna talk about this later. But the way that deaf people ask questions is done on the face. How do you know they're asking you a question? They'll do it using facial grammar. And so facial expression is considered a grammatical function of ASL. Okay. So these are some basic ideas, some basic concepts about sign language, ASL that are very important. You change one of these, and it changes the meaning of the sign. Okay. Questions? Fingerspelling. When you first start learning how to sign, typically fingerspelling is what beginning signers will do is when they fingerspell, they'll bounce. They'll do this. They'll do real jerky. Well, you're looking at that and you're thinking, what is going on there? So you're not very fluid yet. You're not fluent with that. So what you have to do is you have to learn how to fingerspell. Now, if I'm an interpreter and I'm interpreting at a place, what interpreters do lots of times is when they're fingerspelling, this is called registering your, well, I guess that's your elbow, isn't it? They'll register their elbow and just slightly touch their elbow. What does that prevent? It prevents going up and down. So I want to fingerspell right about here, okay? And so on. So when I'm fingerspelling things, I don't want to bounce because that's distracting. So fingerspelling is real important. We talked about that. The reason for it is for proper names and proper nouns and things like that. But fingerspelling. If I'm an interpreter and I'm reading, I'm going to be a voicer for a sign language person, a deaf person. Most of the time, the hardest part is reading fingerspelling. Because deaf people, some of them, have a tendency to fingerspell really, really fast. And that's it. What was that? And so probably the hardest thing to learn, and probably the last thing that you master when you become an interpreter or you're learning sign language is reading fingerspelling. Everybody's hands are different. Everybody's fingers are different. Everybody goes at a different speed and so on. So catching fingerspelling is probably the hardest thing to master, if you ever do. And so, slow. What would you say? Spell it slower, so you can understand it. What happens is when you start fingerspelling, get skilled in fingerspelling. What happens is when you fingerspell a word, you don't necessarily see each letter. You chunk it. You do it in chunks. You look at like maybe syllables or something. And fingerspell it in chunks. When we read a word on a printed page, we don't look at individual letters. We see the whole word. And so when you're fingerspelling, what happens is something clicks in your brain and you start fingerspelling in groups of letters. And when people are seeing that, they don't see individual A, B, C either. They look at shapes, how the hand moves. And so that's important. Okay, anyway. Many signs are iconic. What do I mean by that? What's the meaning of this word? Many, many, many signs are iconic. What does that mean, you think? Anybody know? What's an icon? I showed one last class. Did you see what it was? It was that ear, and it was a line going through it. That's kind of like an icon. So what's an icon?
A symbol.
A symbol. Okay, good. An iconic sign is a sign that looks like what it is. For example, this is a sign for what? Tree. It looks like a tree, doesn't it? Here's the trunk, and here are the branches. An iconic sign is a sign that looks like what it is. Here's the sign for deer. Iconic or not? Okay? So many, many, thousands of signs are iconic. They look like what they are. But thousands and thousands of signs are not. You have no idea why that is that sign. So many times people, when they start learning sign language, they'll start thinking, well, why is that sign that? Why is that the sign for that? Well, you can't ask that question because, you know, it just is. We don't look at an English word and say, well, why is this is the sign for orange? Why is it orange? You know, what came first, the color or the fruit? Okay, so, you know, this could be maybe you squeeze oranges to get orange juice, maybe. But some signs you have no idea why they're that way. Okay, but some of them are iconic. Tree, horse, got ears. Some animals, this is a sign for animal, but that doesn't make any sense. Why is that the sign for animal? Can't ask those questions. They just are that way, okay? Good. Iconic signs, feedback signs. When two deaf people are communicating, they're giving feedback to each other. If I'm the signer, the other deaf person is the receiver. And I said last class, that it's consecutive. It's not simultaneous. You don't find two signers signing at the same time, simultaneously. They have a tendency to take turns. I'm signing my story, then when I get done, you sign your part, and then we go back and forth. And that can go pretty rapidly, but it's still consecutive. Well, while I'm signing, the receiver is not just passive. They are actually part of the conversation. They're giving what's called feedback signs. And what do I mean by that? Is Stacy's talking to me in sign language, for example, and I'm looking at her. I'm not going to stare. I don't find deaf people actually staring at each other, but we're kind of making eye contact. If I kind of go out like this in space, I'm kind of daydreaming, then that means I'm not that interested in maybe what she says, but I'm going to pay attention to her signs. Some of the feedback signs that I've seen are, what does that mean? She's signing to me. I'm the receiver now. I'm paying attention to her signs. She's signing. This is one I've seen. This means, oh yeah, I got you. Or I've seen this before. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means really. Really? Is that true? Are you sure? But, so the receiver basically is constantly giving feedback signs to the signer, letting the signer know that the receiver is with them. They're simpatico. They're making contact. They're making communication happen. So these feedback signs are really important. The receiver, the deaf person that's signing, okay, is signing away. The receiver's not you know, like, okay, when is she going to stop talking? They're not doing that. They're constantly giving feedback. So that's important too. It's part of deaf culture as well. Syntax. Every language has syntax, grammatical features, and syntax there's a few different syntactical concepts in ASL, and one of them I'll give you. There's several, but one of the ones that are pretty common is what's called topic comment. What will happen is the deaf person will set up a topic and then say something about that. Okay. For example, the other day my car, it broke down and I had to fix it. It was $800. Okay, what have I said? I've set up a syntax of my sentence by establishing what first? What did I talk about first? My car. That sets up the topic. And what did I say about the car? I said, well, it broke down, I had to spend money, and so on and so forth. Okay. So what you'll find in deaf language, in ASL, one of the important ways of putting things, I know signs, but how do I put them together to make meaning for another person is I do topic comment. Okay, I'll set up a topic like the school here, ACU, you know, lousy school. Good school, wonderful, excellent. And so I set up the topic, which is ACU, and then I say something about it. Set up a topic, say something about it. Okay, let me give you something else right here that's really important in deaf culture. Deaf people have a tendency to think in concrete terms. They think in terms of how do I put signs together to make meaning. One way they do that is see how I can say this. What they'll do is sort of draw a picture. Okay, they'll think in terms of of consecutive things. The example that I always give, if I'm explaining this type of concept, is, well, one time my cat, it got stuck up in the tree. You know, I had to call the fire department to come get my cat from the tree. So I would sign that, you know, get my cat. So, now in English I can say, you know what happened the other day? I had to call the fire department. Why? Because my cat got stuck in the tree. Well, deaf people don't think in terms of that. They think in terms of, well, what happened first? What was the first thing that happened in my story about my cat? It got stuck in the tree. That's the first thing that happened. Then what happened subsequently? I had to call the fire department to get him out. So in a deaf person, when you're talking with deaf people, you want to think in terms of what happened first, what happens. Think of it as like a movie. A movie flows from one scene to the next, not reverse. So you think in terms of painting a picture, what happened first? Then what happened second? What happened third? And so on. So they think in terms of topic comment, or there's a word, another, forget now, it's like a picture. The first thing that happens, like consecutive happenings. And so how you put signs together, how do you know how to sign things, is you put them together in either topic comment or in a consecutive type of way. Another one is time indicators. This is very important because how do I know that something happened is happening now, it happened yesterday, or it's going to happen tomorrow? So what deaf people will do is they'll set up the tense, and I think I have this as a, I might have this as a separate function. But when you set up in your conversation, you always want to set up what the time factor is. Did it happen now? Is it happening tomorrow? Did it happen yesterday, or what? So it's very important to establish that. You know, a long time ago, I was in the Air Force. So I've set up the time factor a long time ago. Long time ago. Or just in the past. Or just recently. Or now. Or in a little while. Or in the far future. Let me stay here for a second. What happens in sign language is your body becomes a timeline. Anything ahead of the body is in the future. Anything behind the body is in the past. So the sign for a long time ago, way behind me, recently in the past, now is right here, in the future a little bit, or recently is a little bit in the past, will happen maybe a few days, or in the future, far future, or a long time from now. So my body becomes a timeline. Anything out here is in the future, anything behind me is in the past. So there's many signs that have to do with time indicators, how you set up the time frame. And then asking questions. We talked about this a little bit. How do deaf people ask a question?
With their face.
With their face. What do you mean by that?
Their facial expression.
Their facial expression asks a question. Now, how do deaf people ask a question then? With their face.
Their eyebrows.
What happens to their eyebrows?
They raise.
They go up, and the head kind of tilts forward a little bit. So, eyebrows go up. Face nods forward. That's a question in ASL. ASL question is to do that. Eyebrows up, head forward. That's a question. Okay. So you ask questions with facial grammar in ASL. Another feature of ASL are what's called classifiers. What are classifiers? Anybody know? Classifiers are signs that represent the shape of things. So in my pocket right now, I have some
coins.
This shape, it's an F-hand shape. It's a small circular object. It can be a pipe. It can be something cylindrical this way. It could be coins. It can be buttons. So a sign that is a hand shape that represents the shape of something is called a classifier, and there are many, many, many examples of this. In my house, I just established a new
fence.
A new fence. So this hand shape, it's the four hand shape, be the number four, but it can also be a classifier for the shape of something. There are long boards or whatever that are make a fence. Or one time I saw a man and his beard was like down to there, looked like Moses, okay? So beard, these are four hand shapes and they describe something. I knew a boy, his hair just kind of stuck up like this. Okay, that's a four hand shape and it shows the shape of his hair. So classifiers are signs, hand shapes, that show the shape of something. Plate, these are modified C's. These are called, this is a C hand shape, this is a modified C, so there's a plate. There's a clock, okay? There's a circle somewhere. So these classifiers are used by deaf people to show the shape of something, okay? They describe using signs, using classifiers, what the shape of something. Laptop, square. Things like that. Okay? Very important. Classifiers. ABC stories. What do I mean by that? Who knows what an ABC story is?
Can you use your hand shape? Like different, like A, B, C, whatever.
You tell a story. Very good. Very good. You tell a story using the letters of the alphabet in order. A, B, C, D, and so on. If you go online, Google ABC stories, and you will find some YouTube videos of some ABC stories. Okay, the one that I know a little bit is kind of a cowboy one. There's one where, like that, puts on his hat, A. He looks out into the distance, B. He searches for something out in the far distance, and here comes a person forward coming towards him. There's the D. Okay, and so what you do is you have A, B, C, D, E, all the way through Z. It has to include all the alphabet, by the way. A through Z, and you tell a story. You tell a story. This is deaf poetry. This is deaf expressionism. Okay, deaf have poetry. But it isn't words rhyming like in English. It's signs that rhyme, sort of. Okay? And deaf poetry can be shapes. I know of one story where the whole story uses nothing but the five hand shape. Every sign uses this hand shape. Okay? And so ABC stories are part of deaf culture, part of deaf language, part of deaf poetry. Okay? So it's this is the sign for that, deaf poetry. Okay, so ABC stories are interesting. Idioms? What's an idiom? The other day in Abilene, believe it or not, it rained cats and dogs. Really? You saw cats coming from the sky? No, it's not. It doesn't mean that, does it? It means something else, right? So an idiom in English is like it's raining cats and dogs. And really, there are many, many, many idioms. Sign for idiom is idiom. There are many, many idioms in English, but there are some in sign language as well. One of them is this sign. Make a fist and grab your throat. Okay, that's an idiom in ASL. It's not a true idiom, but it's called that anyway. The most famous idiom that deaf people love to use, and it's funny when they do, but this is a sign. This is an idiom in sign language. Okay, what does that mean? It's train. This is a sign for train, and then you use this hand shape. When a train leaves the tracks, leaves a depot, and you watch it, and it goes into the far down the track. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Right. So this sign, train gone zoom. It's the gloss for this would be train gone zoom. What does that mean? It means when you're talking with a deaf person and they're not paying attention to you, and they go, they're off in space somewhere, and then they come back and say, what did you say? Too bad, so sad. You missed it, sorry. Can't go back. Train can't come back. It's gone. So when that idiom is used for real, not just in fun, it's hilarious for deaf people. They just think it's just so funny that somebody would say train zoom. Train gone zoom. A lot of other. So idioms are part of ASL as well. They have idioms, and not so long ago, people didn't believe that ASL was a language, its own language, but it is. ASL has every feature of language that you can have. So it's a real language. Okay, so much so that they're teaching it in high school as a foreign language credit, or in college as a foreign language credit. So it is a language. It's not just English on the hands. It's its own language. And it's the language that deaf people use. So idioms. Another feature would be loan signs. Loan signs are signs. The proper name for this is lexicalized fingerspelling. L-E-X-O-lized fingerspelling. Okay. I've used a couple so far. I used one just a few minutes ago. What does that mean? TB. Too bad. Too bad. What it is it's fingerspelling that becomes the sign for something. Okay?
Like bus?
Like bus?
Yeah.
Bus? I'm going to go on the bus. I got to go. I have an appointment at the doctor, and I got to go on the bus. Okay? So what you do, you fingerspell. Okay? A few more examples. Job. JB. Bus. And so on. So the loan sign is like a fingerspelling letters that become the sign for that. Okay? And there's lots of examples for that. Okay? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? D-O. Okay, D-O. That becomes a sign in itself. So the fingerspelling becomes a sign for something. Okay? So loan signs are a feature of ASL as well.
I had a code of it. A child of deaf adults one time who said that she was in her 20s before she realized that the sign for OV was actually spelling OV.
Uh-huh.
Just O-L.
Lots of examples. Do it. Sometimes they're two put together. Do, what are you going to do, or just do it. Okay, your fingerspell it becomes a sign in itself, and that's a loan sign. Use of negation. We used that before. Means what?
No good.
Not good. That means good. So I can put negation by nodding, by shaking my head back and forth. That means not. That means not. 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 Okay? So I can add that to the end of my sentence and say, my car, which is also a loan sign, by the way, car, my car, English sign car, ASL sign, fingerspell, or loan sign, car. Okay, my car, no good, negation. Also, you can put not as well. The sign for not is not. Don't. Not. Good class? Not. Good class? Okay. Okay, sign for yes. So use of negation is also part of ASL structure, ASL feature. Yes, no. So negation is important. What will happen in negation is a deaf person will be signing, and they'll put the word not right at the end of the sentence. So what did I just say? Went, go, me go, store, not. What does that mean? In English, it means I didn't go to the store. So here you are reading the deaf person's signs, and they're saying, I'm going to the store, not. Well, you don't say that in English, right? That's not right, good English. You say, I didn't go to the store, or I'm not going to go to the store, or whatever. But in sign language, I can put the not at the end, and that negates the whole sentence. So interpreters have to be very careful to have enough lag time to catch that. Because if you're too close to the deaf person, you're going to say, I went to the store. I didn't go to the store. So now you start sounding like an idiot because you're not paying attention to the language. And so I do a lot of voicing in church, and I'm always afraid that if I mess up too much, the deaf person is going to sound stupid. I don't want to do that. They're very intelligent, but if I don't voice correctly, I don't sound right. That's just one of my fears. Shoulder shift in ASL also is a function. And a lot of times it's used for the word and. Okay? Okay? So what have I done? My sister and my brother. My sister and my brother. So the shoulder shift can function in an ASL as the word and. We do in English, and. Okay, so shoulder shift is an important feature of ASL as well. Head nod, we talked about that already. Agent ending sign, what do I mean by that? What do you think that is?
Teacher,
very good. If I have a particular job, say for example I'm a driver, the sign for drive, okay, in order to make the ER ending, I have to put this sign. This is the agent ending sign. Okay, so driver, teacher, okay, and so on. Student, you young people are all students, okay, students. So the agent ending sign is added to make like driver, teacher, and there's lots of other examples of that. Counselor, what's some others? Counselor, teacher is a very good one. A driver, there's many examples of that. So agent ending sign. Citation form, I don't know why I added that, but that's kind of a technical term for, let me give you an example. I'm going to talk with, what was your name again?
Austin.
Austin from Lucas, or Lucas from Austin. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to talk with him, and we're having a little private conversation here, we're signing. And in signing just one-on-one like this, we can be a little bit more casual, a little bit, my signs can be a little maybe smaller. But if I'm interpreting in front of 300 people, and there's a big audience, I don't want to do intimate signs, I want to do big signs. So what happens in citation form is my signs become a little bit bigger. Okay? The sign for, what's the sign for the number 19? The sign for that is it can be this sign. That's a sign for, that is a sign for 19. But another sign for 19 is 19. If I'm talking with Austin from Lucas, I would say, you know, how old are you? Are you 19? Graduated from high school recently, so he's 19. But if I'm signing in front of people, this might be a little bit too small, a little bit too intimate. So when I'm signing in front of people and interpreting specifically, I'm going to say 19. He's 19 years old. Okay. So it's like there's a difference between intimate signs, just one-on-one, and what I call a citation form, which is big audience, big signs. Make my signs a little bit bigger. Now, you don't want to exaggerate the box. The signing box is about like here. I'm going to sign within a box about this, about as big as your shoulders, and from here to about here. Don't get too much lower. Don't get too much higher. Okay. Also be careful, I'll add this to it, be careful of your facial expression. Don't make them too much. I knew one lady, she was always, you know, making monkey face. Well, you don't want to do that either. You want to make facial expression, but make them natural. Natural. ASL versus English, we touched on this just a little bit. What's the difference between ASL and English signs? What we call English sign system. English signs is not a language, it's a system. Okay? Is ASL based on English? No, not at all whatsoever. ASL has nothing whatsoever to do with the English language. It's its own language. That's been proven. But some deaf prefer English signs. And what do we mean by that? It's signing in English word order. Okay? So, my cat got stuck in a tree. Some of the signs are the same, but some of the signs are different. In English signs, and I mentioned this before, S-E-E, signing exact English, is I'm going to the store. That's in English. But in ASL, I can just say, I'm going to the store. So English signs versus ASL. What'll happen is when you see a deaf person, they're reading a book, say, and they have to recite something in English, they'll start signing in English word order. But ASL doesn't do that. It doesn't sign in English word order. Talked about that before. Tense indicator, sign order. We talked about that before. To-be verbs. What are to-be verbs? What do I mean? Anybody English majors in here? What's a to-be verb?
I'm an English major. I don't know what
it is. Is, are, be. Okay? These are to-be verbs. Is, are, be. These signs are not used in ASL. They're English signs. Okay? So you don't say is. That's not an ASL sign. That's an English sign. Okay? The sign for I in ASL, I. The sign for I in English is I. See the difference? So English signs and ASL signs are different. Okay? So, and there are no to-be verbs in ASL. You don't say I in ASL, you say I. Okay? Feature. I don't know if I touched on this before. Does everybody in America sign the same way? If I go to New York City, do they sign exactly the same as in Texas? If I go to California, do they sign the same way as in Texas? No, different. It's different. Some of the signs for things in New York are different for the same thing, but the sign is different. I have a book, or my wife really does. It's called Signs Around America. And they go to different states and they find out, how do you sign that word? They found out there was like 9 different signs for the word picnic. The sign for picnic in Texas, we use this sign for picnic. But this is also a sign for picnic in another state. Sign for chicken in Texas is chicken. This is another sign for chicken. Okay, in another state. So it's not the same. If I go to, I used this last time, I think. I go to Boston, the city of Boston, park the car, different words. They say things different. It's the same in sign language. So not all signs are the same. Around America, they're different signs. So regional variation. Sign names. My sign name is Larry. Why do I do that? Why do I do this for Larry? This is Jerry. This is Stacy. There's James. There's Debbie. Why do we sign that way? What's the reason for that?
Sometimes if you know like a certain person and you're around them like, all the time, and a deaf person gives them a sign name, you can just
Instead of finger spelling Larry all the time, Larry, 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 I just establish a sign that represents me. That's my sign name. So all deaf people have a sign name. Every deaf person I've ever met has a sign name, and mine just happens to be, it used to be this, but my wife changed it because this actually means lazy. So we thought we'd change. I didn't have any problem with it, but my wife didn't like it, so we changed it to Larry. This is Rock. This is Larry. So I'm a Rock. There you go. So anyway, what to do is to learn how to communicate. Learn how to connect with deaf people. I know many people, they want to learn sign language, they don't want to be around deaf people. Won't work. You have to go meet deaf people. There's deaf coffee chats where deaf people go and they drink coffee and they communicate. Go there. Watch them communicate. And then if you can't do that, if you can't do this or that, you can contribute. You know, be a part of deaf culture. And I know I'm out of time. I think that was all I had. So, thank you all for coming. I really appreciate you showing up for this class. Thank you.